Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto Him who is able to do it above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And all together the congregation says, Amen. That's what the Scripture says in Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. But there are lots of other great passages that speak to that particular mind. I love Psalm 139 and verse 14 that says that I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know that Scripture. I know many of you do. That's a great Scripture. Psalms also 103 verses 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless Thy holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and let us forget not His blessings. Those are great passages that encourage us, and I hope they encourage you on this very day as well. I know that we're living in these strange times. We talk about that each week, and don't want to sound like the broken record, but just some things of encouragement for us as we go forward and still go out into our community and continue to be focused upon what we should be focused upon as Christians. Our lesson today is entitled Stay the Course, and I'm using this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 1 through 6 to talk about a few things that I hope will be of encouragement to each and every one of you. So, it'll be on the screen. You can read or look, go along with me as we read the passage. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Let a man so account us, says Paul, as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Chris, that was a great song, Faith is a Victory, that goes along with our passage today. Be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of a man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, he says. I'm not going to participate in that. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not therefore or hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. I hope you recognize that. There's some great preaching points in here, and we're not going to preach all of them, and you said amen. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. That's a great thought. Until the Lord comes, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And then he says, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself as well as to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above what that or that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up one for one against another. A great thought here, a lot of great things that are said. Stay the course. Stay the course. Now that's really, actually, origin-wise, a nautical course, or nautical phrase. And you can imagine that on board ship, that it's very important, especially, let's say, in bad weather, and you can't see where you're going, that you need to have something that directs you and keeps you headed in the right direction, even though you can't really see. We're all glad that the pilots have instruments for nighttime or storms, aren't we? So they can fly by instruments, or they can hear over their radios people to help guide them to their destination and where they ought to be. What an important concept that is. And that phrase found itself over in a lot of other areas of life. For example, one of the patriot ways was be in the concept of battle. Many of the generals would say to their soldiers, stay the course. What did that mean? Don't leave your post. Stay where you're supposed to be, Bobby, and finish your job. That was the concept, of course, behind all of that. Presidents in the past, Abraham Lincoln, for example, and Ronald Reagan was another one who used that same phrase in their campaigns or their election campaigns to try to encourage people to understand they wanted to stay on track, stay the course. I don't know how many of you have seen that movie, The Patriot. But one of the sons of Benjamin Martin, Gabriel, is the oldest son, and he goes off into war, joining the militia and against his father's wishes. And after a couple of years, he's sending mail back to the family, and his younger brother is reading the letter to the rest of the family and the kids that are back at home. And he says to them that he envies his brother because he's at home and enjoying the great peace of home and the wonderfulness of home, and he's stuck in the battle of the war. But at the end of saying that, he says, stay the course. Stay the course. Remember the cause. Stay with the cause of what's happening. That's the whole idea. Well, let me ask you something. Preserving to the very end. You know, does life ever get you down? I'm telling my age here, but that doesn't matter. I don't care. I'm so old it doesn't matter to me anymore. But there are all kinds of things that bring back memories. But I remember singing this old song. Most of you will recognize it. But I probably did not at the time really grasp the feeling of the author of the song and what they were trying to say about in the words. Talking to myself and feeling old. Sometimes I'd like to quit. Nothing ever seems to fit. Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. Anybody ever feel old? How about this? Anybody ever talk to themselves? I mean, I didn't pick up on that then, but I pick up on it now. Talking to yourself. Yeah, I have to do that in order to get dressed. You know what I mean? Yeah, you're laughing, but you're laughing because you're doing the same thing. Now, where did I put my tie? That's the tie. This tie won't go with this. I got to try something else. We all understand this, that life has its moments of discouragement. And it begins to affect us. And I don't mind saying to you that I think it's a common feeling that there are forces or that there are thoughts or things within us and every one of us that call on us, literally, if you will, to quit. Just give up. The events in life that are going on, just give up. I'm reminded of what Paul writes in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. He says to the people there, I'm saying Paul, I gave away what I think about it, but nonetheless, the writer of the book of Hebrews and through the Holy Spirit, and I think Paul would appreciate that even better if we just leave his name out of it and just say the Holy Spirit's communicating to you. Don't you think that's really true? Especially the way he writes. Don't think of yourself above what's written. That's what he's talking about, isn't he? For when for the time that you ought to be teachers, you have need of one that teaches you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, you're in need of milk, not meat. We just feel like giving up. And probably everyone in this room struggles at one point or another in our faith with the concept of what I'm going to call the perfection of our performance. That's what really we're taught in the world. And that creeps itself over into the church, trying to get us to remind us that we want to be the very best we can be. And I'm not saying we don't want to be. We do want to be the best we can be for God. But what the Scripture literally teaches us is that none of us are worthy of what God has done for us. Wake up. Amen. Right? None of us. I'm not worthy to be a preacher. I'm not any more worthy than any one of you others that might want to give a lesson. It's a great honor. And when I say that, when I get up, it's an honor to be with you and to have a chance to speak from the Word of God. I say that in humility, not in any other form. Simply know that I'm speaking for God today, as other men who stand in the pulpit today are doing that very thing as well. And you know, many of us, I'm not going to say everybody, but many of us, I think, use failure as one of our defense mechanisms. We have a fear of failure that we're afraid sometimes to admit that we do, and it keeps us, I believe it keeps us from our greatest accomplishments simply because we're fearing about what we have to do next. We're afraid of it. We won't step out and get busy and do it. In my early years of preaching, I'm going to say to you that when I became discouraged, it was a whole lot easier just to quit and go somewhere else. There are always the three D's of preaching. That's dumb elders, dumb deacons, and dumb members. When you get discouraged, that's the way you think. You wound up moving somewhere else, Jim, and they were all the same over there. How about that one? And that's it, not excluding the dumbness of the preacher. Okay? I'm just saying that's what happens when we get discouraged. We begin to think in those kind of terms. How many of you thought about, you know, that you guys, when you found that sweetheart and then you got married and then you had children? I think the three D's of marriage is, you know, drudgery, debt, and diapers. You weren't expecting that. You had to make some adjustments to that, to live through that. Responsibilities of keeping up things. But I'm trying to say to you that the message, you see, of the New Testament is that the only way to fail is to quit, to give up. Am I right about that? I'm not making that up. What God says is if you remain faithful, it's required of a steward to remain what, brethren? Faithful. Now, you can get picky and start defining that word and see what that all means. It means being full of faith. But if you'll be honest with yourself, you know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing is of the Word of God. No, it's not that TV program. It's not The Walking Dead. It's the making alive. That's what the Word of God does for us. And that's what we're supposed to understand. And that's a message that I'm trying to deliver this morning to you. I'm going to give you a few scriptures. They're not going to appear on the screen, but write them down if you want to. Romans 5 and at verse 3. This is not a complete thought. I'm telling you in advance. I'm just taking a snippet out of it. You should read three or four more verses to get the whole thing that Paul means. But he says here, not only this, the things he said before that, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. That's saying, stay the course, isn't it? Stay with the cause. Remember what's important. Persevere. Keep going. Keep doing. In Romans 8 and 25, it says that if we hope for what we do not see with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. In other words, if we learn how to persevere, we're eagerly looking for Christ to come and our reward. This one I know you're really familiar with, 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, says Paul, be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's a big amen, isn't it? Yeah, that our labor would not be in vain in the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 4 and at verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Isn't that a blessing? We're being encouraged or built up. We should be. Or, as he's writing in Galatians 6 and 9, he says, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. In other words, if we don't quit, stay the course, stay with the cause. Finally, he says, be strong in the Lord. This is verse 10 of Galatians 6. And in the strength of His might. In Philippians 1 and 16, he says, I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Now those are great precious promises, aren't they? And that should be the kind of thing that we become acquainted with and familiar with to continue to encourage us, because, you see, life gets us down. It does. All the things about us. There are so many things that go on in terms of chaos that we don't know what's happening next. That's very, very true in so many cases. Now, I know that lots of us are going crazy because we have grown so accustomed and we love our sports so much that we're just kind of left out hanging now, because there's nothing going on of any real entertainment-wise in terms of that. We all enjoy it. I'm happy that some of the high schools are getting to play some ball. I think that's great. That means when they play at home, as I've been instructed about, thank you, Laura, the band will get to play. And I think that's a positive thing. I know they have to feel great to be able to get out on the field, play their instruments and march and be in front of their parents and that kind of thing. That's a great thing to do. Everybody, you see, wants to be liked. Everybody wants to have encouragement. Maybe it would surprise us, or maybe it does surprise us. You know, with all the things that surround us that are discouraging, maybe it surprises us that even when we leave worship, sometimes you're discouraged still. You know, it's hard to know what everybody has an expectation about when they come to worship. Well, he didn't sing my favorite song. I don't know why we don't ever sing that old song anymore. Or, boy, all we do is sing those new songs. Well, or all we do is sing those old songs. Take your choice. What your expectation might be. We're trying to do our best to meet other people's needs and encourage one another. I hope that will be the case. I don't mind saying to you, I think one of the greatest things, one of the biggest obstacles any preacher faces is this whole idea of the temptation of just saying, I'm quitting. I don't have to do this. I can do something else. I remember some of my mentors that were preachers that said, when I said I wanted to be a preacher, they said, well, if you can't do anything else, go ahead and be a preacher. It took me a long time to figure out what that meant. I thought that was an odd answer for someone who was a preacher to say, if you can't do anything else, go ahead and be a preacher. What they were saying to me was, you better count the cost to know whether or not you can stay the course. That you can keep it up. That you can persevere and continue to be the kind of influence that you're wanting to be. So I hope you don't leave worship being discouraged. Because the whole idea behind worship is not about whether or not the preacher does the good job. Or whether the song leader does a good job. Am I on the street where you live? Literally, you're here for you to praise God. And it's up to me to do that. It's not us that stand up here. In fact, when we pray in there, one of the things we try to say in our prayer is that, Lord, help us to encourage everybody. We hope that's what it's all about. But the reality is that worship is supposed to be a two-way street. That's up to you. To glean what can be gleaned from the Word of God. Stay the course. All of the letters that are written to the seven churches of Asia are the kind of things that are said to encourage them. In fact, the writer there says, to him who overcomes. That's another way of saying persevere, isn't it? That's another way of saying stay on the course. Keep your direction headed in the right place. He that overcomes will eat of the tree of life. Revelation 2 and verse 7. Or to Smyrna, for example, he says in 2 and verse 11, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. At Pergamos, in chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, he that overcomes shall eat hidden manna. Hidden manna. At Thyatira, they're told that they will have power and authority over the nations. For him that overcomes. These are messages of encouragement so that we are not discouraged when we're here. And so that we do not come under the wrong kind of an expectation. The expectation is that I will worship the Heavenly Father. And that's what I should continue to do. Maybe it even surprises you that the Apostle Paul might be someone who would be discouraged. Can you even picture that? In 1 Corinthians, I do believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, here's what Paul says. You have that one, Wayne? Thank you. Do you not know that in a race, all of the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way that you may get that prize. You see, everyone who competes in the game goes into training, right? They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it for a different reason, don't we? To get a crown that will last forever. So therefore, I do not run like someone aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. Instead, I strike a blow to my body and I make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. I'm running for the prize. You're not running against me. You're not running against these other folks. You're running for yourself to win the prize of everlasting life. That's an individual thing. That's what we're supposed to be about. I hope that is the kind of thing that you have in your own mind as you think about these great things that could happen for you and to you. Sing with me for a minute. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, let me see all the things you are, all the things you want me to be. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, let me see all the things you are, all the things you want me to be. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. One more time. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, let me see all the things you are, all the things you want me to be. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. All the things you are, all the things you want me to be. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. You see, everyone gets discouraged at one point or another. Victory in the Christian race is not depending upon my beating the person sitting next to me. Like our background scene showed, here are these guys getting ready to run. They're all going to have to stay in their own lane in order to compete in this particular race. But rather, you see, it's sin. It's Satan that has to be defeated in my life. Not the person next to me's life, but in my life. It's my own sinful nature that has to be put to death. Isn't that what the Bible teaches us? Is to put our own sinful nature to death. In the Christian race, you must finish. That's what we must do. Y'all know I'm a Cowboys fan. You know, the greatest running back ever was Emmitt Smith. You can disagree with me, but you'll be dead wrong. He is the NFL leading rusher of all time, by the way. Something like 18,350 some odd yards in his career. That's over 10 miles. Now that's impressive, isn't it? There was nothing like watching the back break away and just go for, or just watching him juke or something and everybody misses his tackle, the tackle to get him. I mean, it's just kind of a thrilling thing. But then there are the other times that were not so good. I don't appreciate Emmitt Smith so much for all the excitement. I appreciate that when he got the ball and he ran and he was set upon by a 350-pound tackle or a 270-pound linebacker or something, that the man got up. Am I right? I mean, does that have an application to you in your life? He got up and went back to the huddle. I know a few times they got a stretcher and took him off probably. But he came back on the field. I'm trying to emphasize to you that that's what we're supposed to be about. To persevere. To get back up. And to go on and stay the course. And do what we're supposed to do. And that's to serve our God. Did you know that even Jesus got discouraged? You remember when the disciples began to walk away from him? John chapter 6. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Listen to that next line. The King James says, "Do y'all want to leave too?" King James didn't say y'all, but said, "Do you want to leave too? Are you going to leave me?" You can hear the discouragement in his voice that people are walking away. Now, we all know that Jesus is strong and that he's going to be victorious. I'm not talking about that he won't finish his course. He will, because he knows he gets his strength from his heavenly Father. And that's what every one of you should be encouraged to do. Why? Well, we're told in the book of Hebrews that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses there that are leading and cheering us on, hoping that we'll get back up and persevere. No matter what somebody said about you, no matter what someone did to you, but rather get back up. And you keep headed for the goal. To never surrender and to live for God. Do we have to just say, well, let's go to the Scripture? Look around you. Is that not what we are about here today? Are we not in person the witnesses that are saying, keep running the race? Get back up. Isn't that what we're telling each other when we're here together? That we love one another, that we want to see us be successful as we live the Christian life. Right here, these people in this assembly are that kind of folk who want to see that you, that me, that we together are successful in running the Christian race, staying the course, going in the right direction. I hope you'll be encouraged by that. Don't let this world get you down with what's going on. Hey, let me just say it like this. Forget about this election thing. The truth is you only have one vote. Is that not right? Unless you're doing something illegal. I've got one vote. I know what I'm going to do with it, and I'm going to let the Lord take care of everything else. I know things will work out the way the Lord intends for it to. That God will be with me. He'll be for me. If you're not in Christ, you need to be in Christ. If you've been hesitating about that, you need to be buried in the waters of baptism and raised up to walk in newness of life. So you can be in Him. Because that's the way you stay the course.